Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. On Monday, the New York State Assembly passed a bill aimed at making New York a sanctuary state by protecting undocumented immigrants from arrests based on their immigration status and barring law enforcement from following certain federal immigration laws, including detention orders for immigrants who have not committed a violent felony. Republicans who control the state Senate have said that they won't support that bill, citing public safety concerns and a loss of funding from the federal government for failing to comply with immigration laws. As you know, President Trump vehemently opposes sanctuary cities and has threatened to cut off federal funding to these cities. Joining me now with their position on the sanctuary city and sanctuary state debate, as well as some other state issues that we'll get to, are Republican leaders from both branches of the legislature. Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, who represents towns in the Rochester, Ontario County region, and State Senator Martin Golden, who represents neighborhoods in Brooklyn's 22nd Senate District, such as Bay Ridge, Dyker Heights, Bensonhurst, Marine Park, Gerritsen Beach, Gravesend, parts of Sheepshead Bay, Borough Park, and Midwood. Welcome to WNYC, Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, and welcome back, Senator Martin Golden.
Good morning.
So the sanctuary bill known as the New York State Liberty Act cleared the Assembly with a vote of 77 to 58. Some Democrats from upstate and suburban areas joined Republicans in voting against the legislation. Assembly Leader Kolb, what are your major objections to the bill?
Well, I think first and foremost, the number one responsibility of government is to ensure its safety of the citizens. And I think the efforts of this bill is to disregard that responsibility, basically ignoring, quite frankly, federal law. And federal law rules above all other laws in terms of our state, and especially keeping our streets and communities safe. And I think that this bill puts that at risk overwhelmingly. I don't think it was a well-thought-out bill. And certainly the Assembly Democrats actually had to twist arms to get the bill passed the other day. As you mentioned, it passed with 77 votes. It takes 76 to pass. And they literally went to two members on the floor that were up on as a no on the board and had them change to a yes just to pass the bill. So this, even among Democrats, this bill is fatally flawed, and I think it acknowledges that this thing was just rushed through.
Senator Golden, coming from Brooklyn, because there is an upstate-downstate split on this to some degree, and I imagine you have a fair number of undocumented immigrants in your district, do you also oppose this bill?
I do indeed. We all came. My parents came from Ireland. They raised eight kids. They all kids that they raised gave back to the community. So many of them joined law enforcement. They came in with a sponsor and they had a job. The important part here is this is a nation of rule of laws, and we need to be able to bring the undocumented out of the shadows, find the pathway to citizenship, and to make sure that those that are here are planned for future communities and how our communities are planned for when it comes to education, when it comes to transportation, when it comes to health care. We need to know these numbers. We need to know who they are and where they are. When it comes to crime, when you got a guy living next door to you that has the ability to get away with some of these crimes, using a child for sexual performance, the sale of controlled substance, the number of kids dying today across our country, across our state from heroin, and we're letting these people stay here. Just take a look at this number. In the last 4 years, there were 121 illegal aliens with criminal records that were released that committed murder after they were released. Think about that. That's one every 2 weeks. We cannot allow that to continue. This is about getting the bad element off of the street. And if you listen to some of the rhetoric out there, well, it's a guy that committed a grand larceny or a petit larceny. Well, grand larceny allowed to stay, petit larceny allowed to stay as well. Think about that. It's not about a petty larceny. It's about them committing 20, 30 crimes, felonies and misdemeanors. They do not belong on the streets of the city and state of New York.
Mayor de Blasio argues that Sanctuary City is actually essentially a public safety bill because people who are here illegally would be afraid to report crimes. And there are, you know, a lot of inner city residents who might be more vulnerable to crimes than a lot of other people in other neighborhoods. And that makes it a public safety measure. And that short of the deportation, anybody who commits any kind of crime, any kind of violent crime, certainly would be punished by the justice system, would get whatever prison time they deserve to get if the local justice system is working properly, and so that deportation becomes kind of irrelevant to that. What's your argument to the, you know, in response to the suggestion that this is actually an increase in public safety?
Brian, will you want this?
Yeah, Senator Golden, I'm following up with you. Go ahead.
Okay. It's very simple. The person that, number of them that drove the planes into the 9/11, into the buildings at World Trade Center, that killed 3,000 Americans. Are you ready for this? They were in this community. They lived here in Bay Ridge. They went visiting here in this community. We cannot allow the people that are going to harm us. We cannot have the next 9/11. We need to make sure that the people that are committing these crimes are out of this country. They do not belong here. And if a person is assaulted, a person here in this community is by any chance, a crime is committed against them, they have no problem in reporting it to the police. They are very astute. There are many programs out there that are working with the undocumented immigrants to give them the ability to understand what's happening, who's being removed, why we need your support, what's for education, where is our health care. We need to be able to plan for these things. And I think the undocumented immigrant understands it. Listen, growing up in a community as an immigrant kid, I know what it's about. We got picked on growing up, but I got to tell you right now, we have a great family. And you know what? They did a great job, my parents. And many of the parents today, the undocumented out there, are doing a great job raising their children. We want to give them that opportunity. But if they're out there committing crimes, some of those bad people, we got to get them out of this country, and we got to make sure we keep our citizenry safe.
Assembly Leader Kolb, I want to play a clip of your colleague, Assembly Member Nicole Malliotakis, Republican from Staten Island, during a hearing in Albany with Mayor de Blasio last week, where she questioned the mayor's list of crimes that merit turning over undocumented immigrants to federal authorities. Because for people who don't know, the sanctuary city policy does allow people who've committed a lot of violent crimes to be turned over for deportation proceedings. Those who committed lesser crimes are those who the mayor says they are protecting. But here's Assemblymember Malliotakis saying that list isn't good enough.
My issue is, why would the mayor of the city of New York, who is entrusted to protect the safety of our citizenry, say that they're not going to comply with these detainer requests when they're only in certain circumstances? So, for instance, if an individual is here, conducts sexual misconduct, forcible touching, sexual abuse in the second or third degree, grand larceny, welfare fraud, identity theft, and this is just a small list of a much larger list in which the city refuses to comply with detainer requests from the federal government, why would you protect individuals who are here illegally committing these crimes instead of putting your citizenry first and foremost and ensuring that we receive the federal funding we need for our law enforcement to do their job?
Some of the things on that list may surprise a lot of listeners. Sexual misconduct, forcible touching, sexual abuse in the second or third degree, grand larceny. People are protected under the sanctuary city rules for that. So here's 1 minute of the mayor's response.
If there are some offenses that we should add, we are willing to do that always. But I would say anyone in good conscience who reads that list of 170 offenses, which is essentially any act of violence, anything involving a weapon, anything involving terror, any major drug offenses, it's quite comprehensive, understands the intent is to protect the safety of all New Yorkers. And we will cooperate fully with ICE, and we have cooperated fully with ICE. I would disagree with you, and I'm willing to add offenses. When you come up with a list of 170 offenses, if there were several more that should be included, I'm perfectly happy to include them. But on the point about how ICE makes its requests, I think it is unfair to say that every one of their requests, even previously, let alone under a new administration, would track that same notion of serious and violent crime. We have no such guarantee. So we are concerned that any offense, and the examples I've given, low-level marijuana possession, for example, could, in the eyes of ICE, be considered for deportation.
Mayor de Blasio, during his testimony in Albany last week. Assemblyman Kolb, are you heartened by that, that he said he's willing to expand the list? It sounds like maybe he was embarrassed a little bit by some of the things that Assemblywoman Maliotakis itemized there. Have you spoken to the mayor about a revision?
I have not personally, and, you know, we've got great representation that worked directly with the mayor's office, Senator Golden and Nicole Maliotakis and Ron Castorino, members of the Assembly Democrats as well. And they have the closest ability for, let's hope that the mayor does listen. But this is, again, what you get from the mayor is spin. And, you know, he acknowledges that the list is not as comprehensive in his words. But, yeah, if we had to need the forcible touching, sexual assault, yeah, I'll be open to it. I mean, that's exactly the type of attitude that we're dealing with. We're talking about people that are not obeying the law. And as far as a citizen of the United States, if they commit any of those offenses that are not on the list or that have been omitted from the list, they would be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And currently, Bill de Blasio and many Assembly Democrats are saying, oh, well, we have to protect as many people as possible, regardless of the fact that they're breaking any of our laws. And that's exactly the point. No one, if you're here, you should obey every single law that's on the books, not the ones that you want to pick and choose or create another subset list. To even have a list separate that undocumented or illegal immigrants can be compared to just makes no sense at all.
You're saying to have no list, because the mayor would push back and say, and he did in that clip, somebody who's arrested for a low-level marijuana possession should face deportation for that, to use the mayor's example?
Well, that's up to the federal officials to decide. You know, Andrew Cuomo says that marijuana, he's not interested in legalizing marijuana because he believes it's a gateway drug. Well, if the governor of the state thinks that marijuana is a gateway drug, then to other things and drug sales, and we have a rampant opiate problem in this state and in this country, that's exactly that. You have to have a reverse mentality. You have to want to protect things first and not restrict things first. And that's the where I disagree with the mayor and how he's approaching this list approach.
We just have a few minutes left. Let me broaden it a little bit. Senator Golden, representing those areas of Brooklyn that you represent, do you think you have a lot of Trump voters in your district? And do you think that you could, did you support Trump? And would you say to other New Yorkers that it's not just a question of red and blue states, there are red and blue neighborhoods in New York City, and that people in your district had reasons for supporting Donald Trump?
Yes, I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. My district won for Donald Trump, one of the only districts in the city of New York. But he's the president of the United States, and he's instituting a number of laws that are going to be part of the rule of law. And we need to be able to work with him as a nation. We cannot have sanctuary cities and states that are separate from the rest of the rule of laws for this great nation. So we need to work together. So I believe that eventually when all these nominees are put forward and are voted on and the Supreme Court justice is voted on, I think we'll start to see some rationale come to our nation that will give us the ability to move forward and to be productive as a great, great nation. So, yes, 77 votes, by the way, was passed the sanctuary city bill in the assembly. You need 76 votes to pass the bill. 77 they got. So it is obviously a very difficult bill for those people across this great state. And we're talking about losing significant federal funding. So I would hope that we all get along, that we work with the President of the United States and with Congress and the U.S. Senate, and we allow them to govern, set the rule of law, and to make this a safe, great nation.
And just one state Senate politics question. We talked on yesterday's show about the split in the Democratic conference in the Senate, with an increasing number of independent Democratic conference members, the breakaway Democrats who caucus with the Republicans. I'm just curious your take as a Senate Republican, a member of the Senate majority, what you think the place of the independent Democrats are. What do Republicans get by them caucusing with you? What, in your view, do the people of the state get?
I believe it's they see the rationale. We see the rationale in coming together, working together, because we're both working for the betterment of a great city and a great state. We see the issues in education. We see our our health issues. We see our transportation issues. And we agree more than disagree. So they've seen that, the independent Democrats, and they work closely with us in achieving those goals that would help to make this and continue to make this the greatest state and the greatest nation in the world. So I applaud the independent Democrats. And I applaud my colleagues in the Republican conference for coming together and making government that much better, that much more workable, and ensuring that at the end of the day, we're not going to tax these people to death and our good citizenry, and that we're going to have a safe city, safe state, and that we're going to have good education and good health care.
So is there an example of a particular issue where those Democrats side with the Republicans rather than the other Democratic conference?
It's across the board. But let's start with the budget. They turn around, they vote with us with the budget. They turn around, that is the budget that will work with Brian Kolb, Leader Kolb, will work with the assembly, and we'll sit with the governor, and we will hammer out a budget bill. That budget bill will be voted on, and they will work with us to make sure that that bill gets passed. But it's not going to be an easy process. This is going to be a tough year. This is going to be one of the toughest years I've seen since I've been here for the past 14 years. You will see a very difficult year trying to put this budget together and making it happen. So the independent Democrats will play a significant role in that.
What's an example? Take me one step further into that. What's an example of a difficult budget item that you'll need those independent Democrat support for?
Well, there's going to be the biggest, there's going to be education, correct? There's going to be more money for education. Right now, we pay about $22,000 a child for an education here in the city of New York. We want to make sure that there's a balanced education across this great state. And we want to make sure that STEM is included in that process, that we get STEM education. That's with our...
Oh, but all the Democrats want more education funding, right? So that wouldn't be a breakaway position?
Well, it might be on the STEM issues. We want to make sure that STEM's going into all these schools, much STEM as we can get. And, of course, there's an independent charter schools. We want to make sure that the charter schools have the ability to have more funding and the opportunity to have co-locations and the ability to exist here in the city and the state of New York. That's an issue that the Democrats are very much against. So that's one issue that we work with the independent Democrats to get done. That's just one of the issues. I mean, the issues go on and on as to where the split is. And you're going to see a strong, vibrant Republican conference working with a strong, vibrant, independent Democratic leadership with Leader Klein. So I think it's going to be good.
And Assemblyman Kolb, one more question for you. An item that made the news after Mayor de Blasio testified in Albany last week, and that's the 5-cent plastic bag tax that he wants for New York City. And a lot of people in the city are wondering, and since you're the Assembly Minority Leader and you represent parts of the Rochester area, why do people in Rochester, why would people in the Adirondacks, why would people in Western New York, Southern Tier, care whether New York City imposes an environmental bag tax in its own borders?
Well, I think first and foremost, we're fundamentally opposed to increasing costs to any New Yorker, regardless where they live. And certainly, you know, some of these gestures that, especially in New York City, that happen with New York City Council, is they tend to obviously be way more on the left progressive side, which means let's tax everybody as much as we can, regardless of their income strata. And this, you know, putting another 5-cent tax to people that shop every day, to seniors, 5 cents may not seem a whole lot of money to you or me or anybody else for that matter, but to those that are living on fixed incomes that are trying to get by, you know, another nickel is important.
But you're arguing the merits. I'm really kind of asking a home rule question. Would you want people in New York City, which of course have so many members of the legislature because of the big population here, to be able to vote on a town ordinance or a city ordinance where you live?
Well, we live with that every single day in the state assembly, where assembly Democrats are continuing to push legislation to the adverse impact of upstate New York, regardless if it's a local law or not. And that's exactly the point. We should have lots more discussion about trying to do a one-size-fits-all piece of legislation, because there are some things that may work really well in New York City, but don't work once you get north of Westchester County. And unfortunately, in state government, the too much domination of the New York City at the detriment of upstate is why there is this ongoing resentment between upstate and downstate residents.
Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb and State Senator Marty Golden from Brooklyn, thank you both so much for coming on with us. Are you both in Albany, by the way? If so, how's the snow?
I'm in New York City, and I'm out here with my constituents, and it's deep, and we're responding to any issues that the city may have and getting their streets plowed and making sure that people get to and from the hospital and making sure that they have access to, a good, safe community.
And Assemblyman, you know, Brooklyn's the snow belt today, Assemblyman, not just Rochester.
Not just Rochester, Buffalo, or Syracuse. Upstate New York, I think the town was Redfield last week, got 5 feet of snow over 3 days. So it happens everywhere.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.